In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is Temptation Sunday, in which Christ himself, though being God, took it upon himself to fast on our behalf. And of course, we all know that Christ, he's God, he doesn't need to fast. He doesn't need to fast. But there's many reasons as to why he fasted. And it's important for us to understand how we benefit from the fact that he fasted. How it should encourage us to fast. The ultimate goal of Lent. It's a journey in order that at the end of the journey, we are striving, and we are dedicating a season so that we would be united to our bridegroom. The goal is to bring our wills, our personal will, to be united with God's will. And it's important for each and every one of us to be honest with themselves and to look and say, how aligned is my will with God's will? How united are our two wills? Is my will completely different than what God wants for me? Which is why we discipline our bodies and our spirits so that they get to that point that our wills would be aligned with the will of God. If you want to be united with Christ, if you want to be one with God, if you want His power to reign over you, if you want His mind or His thoughts to be your thoughts, and Him to reign over all the members of your body, there's no other way than to share in His life. We share in His suffering. We share in His victories. We share in His fasts. And in sharing in all these things, Christ imparts to us, or He gives to us, the same power that was working in Him when He was victorious. Your fast should be none other than a voluntary desire to be united to Him in His life. It should be saying, I want to be united with you in everything that you do. Your works are going to be my works. Your words are going to be my words. Your thoughts are going to be my thoughts. And it is a dedicated time in which we say, I want to suppress the desires of my flesh, and I want my soul, my spirit to be elevated, to be strengthened. You look to Christ, you see how strong He was in fighting against the temptations of Satan. He was throwing temptations left and right at Him, and every single one, in His wisdom, in His self-control, He was able to overcome the devil. And He taught us that if you do like Me, you will have the same victories. That if you fast, if you want to feel the same power that I have, you have to live the same life that I lived. Which is why in liturgy we say, He was incarnate and became man and taught us the ways of salvation by His life. He wants to give us the same power that was working in Him to be working in us by living the same life that He lived. Christ tells us throughout the Bible, He tells us, learn from Me. Learn from Me. Do what I do. Many of us, we take the fast as just, it's a commandment from the church, and we obey and we do it. But if it was up to me, I wouldn't do it. And we follow the rites of the church and we obey. But we have to understand exactly what's the benefit of this season. I pray that we would understand that His life and that the life that He lived should be exactly a model to our life. We can't say, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, that was Jesus. Jesus fasted 40 days. No, He didn't need to fast 40 days. He was God. He didn't have to suppress His flesh. He took flesh in order to show us how to do it. In order to show us that by fasting and by disciplining your body, you're going to find victory over the passions of your flesh, over your mind. The book of Joel called the people and said, sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. Throughout the whole Bible, God asked the people of Israel, His people, to sanctify certain things for Him. To set certain things apart just for Him, the firstborn. To sanctify the Sabbath, to make it just for Him, to make it all about Him. In the book of Joel, He calls us and He says, sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. And it's basically saying to devote fasting days. God is calling us to devote fasting days, special days, a dedicated season where the whole season, everything that is done in it, is all about Him. It's not just the not eating part, but it is a season. Dedicate a fast or a season to the Lord, that we as a congregation would dedicate a special season to prayer and to fasting and to vigil and to Bible reading and to holiness and to fighting against certain sins in our lives. He's saying, sanctify a fast, set it apart for me. There are many people who don't, many congregations, many denominations, they don't fast and they don't see it as something that is necessary. But in the Bible, we saw full countries, full cities, full kingdoms, fasting in order that God would have mercy on them. Unfortunately, the world gets the benefit of most of our time. And if you're honest with yourself, you're going to see that most of your day, from 9 to 5, 9 to 6, it's the world. And then you have, of course, we all have need for social gatherings. So that's another chunk of time. And then we have need for our personal hobbies, working out, doing all these things. And the world is sucking away our lives. Not to say that any of these things are bad. But God is saying, I need dedicated time. I need a holy time in which you have consecrated your body, your mind, your spirit, your soul, everything 100% for me. And even in that, you often find people saying, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's too hard for me. It is when you come to that point that you need it more than anyone else. That when your whole person has been sucked away and has been fully devoted to something else other than God. So what is the goal of our fast? It's important that we know what the goal or target of our fast is so that we don't get misguided. So that our targets aren't not focused. Many people, they do it, they fast for self-approval. Maybe to feel like I'm not the only person in the church that's not fasting. Or maybe it's to feel good about yourself, that I've reached a level of piety or godliness, that I've attained such spiritual levels. And so the purpose of their fast is for the praise of others. It's even for you to praise your own self. You have to be careful. This is the same danger that the devil tries to trap us as he did with the Lord. When Christ was fasting, what did he tell him? He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He's saying, if you're the Son of God, use your divine power for your own benefit. Use the fast for what? For me. Use it to be all about me and to be for my praise and for my exaltation and for my self-esteem. He's saying, if you're God, if you have power, turn these stones into bread. He wanted Jesus to misuse his divine power in order that he would just gratify himself. Christ says, no, I'm not. He says, yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am God, but I took flesh, not so I can cut corners, because I'm God, I can cheat and I can do these things, but to show my people how that they can live and how they can find victory. Christ didn't fast the 40 days because he's God and he's able to live without food, but to show us that us, we can do the same. That this fast is imparted to us, that we can find the same victory. Be careful. The devil is cunning. He uses spiritual things and tries to misguide us with them. Prayer no longer is about praying and connecting with God. Prayer is that nobody else prays and I pray. Prayer is so that I have a certain power, so that I find a certain strength. It's no longer about connecting with God, and that's a shame. Be careful. Because the same temptations that were presented to Christ are the same ways that the devil is trying to mislead us. The main reason for our fast should be out of love for God. We want our souls to be in unison with Him, so we bring down our bodies so that they conform to God. St. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the two are what? Contrary to one another. The two are opposite from one another. The flesh is opposite in the spirit, and the spirit is opposite in the flesh, and the two are fighting. The two can't get along. So what do? Because we are spiritual beings, and we want to make sure that the flesh doesn't get too much power, we spend a season pushing down the flesh, telling the flesh, no, you are not going to get your say. It is time for the spirit. It is time for the spirit to be exalted, to be lifted, to be strengthened, that the spirit can commune with God. But unfortunately, our flesh is suppressing our spirits. We have no control over ourselves anymore. Be honest. Before the fast, you might feel, I don't have control over the things that, if I want to eat, I'm going to eat. And even if I know I shouldn't, even if I'm supposed to be dieting, even if I'm not supposed to be eating these foods, I can't. I have no control. But you'll notice, especially people who are attending the late liturgies in the fast, you'll realize that you're gaining more control over yourself. You're telling yourself all day, your stomach is saying, I'm hungry. And you're telling your stomach, no, I'm not going to feed you. I'm not going to feed you. I'm fasting so that I can take communion. And when you wake up in the morning, you're saying, I need that cup of coffee. And you tell your body, no, you're not getting it. You're not getting your reward. You're not getting your reward until we meet with God, until we've overcome the sins in our lives, the thoughts in our minds, the evil intentions of our hearts. We talked about this last week in Light and Life, that it's the cravings of our hearts are automatically leading us to things that we know are not pleasing God. That maybe my first thought in looking upon someone is a lustful thought. That my first glance upon someone is a judgmental thought. And you look at yourself and you say, what's wrong with me? Is there nothing good inside myself? Is there nothing good inside of me? It's our heart. We need to change the cravings of our heart, because it is the flesh that is running our lives. And so we dedicate a fast. We sanctify a fast in which we tell everything in us. Again, the world, the flesh. We tell everything about ourselves. No. This time is dedicated. It's a dedicated season, so that we would become united with God. And when you fast and you bring your bodily desires under control, it opens up the gateway for prayer. Again, maybe prayer for many of us is a heavy thing to do. To stand up when I'm tired, and to lift up my eye, and to get control of my thoughts, and to bring them focusing on God. I'm the first person to be honest, to confess and say, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing when you've trained yourself to give your body whatever it wants, and all of a sudden, my spirit inside of me is saying, I need some prayer, please. I need some prayer. I need some water of life or I'm going to die. We find, okay, fine. You stand up, and by the time you gain concentration on lifting up your heart to God, where it's not just you reciting whatever's on your mind, but actually connecting with God, it's so hard. But you find when you suppress the flesh, and you've told yourself, I'm not going to eat heavy foods and fatty foods, and I'm going to eat very little. And again, for the people that have attended and who have tried to attend some of the later liturgies, you're going to realize that after you spent all day till 6:30, and you take communion at that day, at that point, and you've united with Christ, all you need is just a few bites. Just a few bites of anything. Just to give yourself a little bit of energy. Which is why Christ responded and he told the devil, he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He's saying, our bodies don't just need food. We don't just live by food. It is God that allows the food to have its perfect work in our bodies, that we would find energy and life in it. But it is God that gives us life. Be careful. We are spiritual beings more than we are fleshly beings. We are spiritual beings. We have to understand that your life comes from God. Your life comes from God. Not from eating. Not from, but I gotta survive. It's not about the survival of the flesh. It is God who makes you survive. And it is Christ who gave us that perfect example. Christ is the one who said, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you that I'm gonna go 40 days, no food. And I'm gonna tell you that it is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, which is why I'm fasting. I'm trying to show you that I find life from being connected with God. Christ isn't the only one who did it. There are many saints and many holy men and women who have gone days upon days without eating. And they did it because they had found that their life consists only of a relationship with God. Do you understand that? Are you living according to the flesh or are you living according to the Spirit? Be honest with yourself and evaluate yourself. How much am I living according to the needs of my flesh? And I'm not just talking about food, but I'm talking about the life in the flesh versus the life in the Spirit. St. Paul says in the same chapter, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't need to. But I think many of us, the spiritual life, sometimes, again, like I said, it's a heavy thing upon us. We need to come to a point where we tell God that I'm going to strive. I'm going to put my body and bring it into subjection. St. Paul said the same thing. But I discipline my body and bring it to subjection. Lest while winning others, I myself become disqualified. He wanted to bring his body into subjection. I have a question. Are there fasts that are not acceptable to God? Are there fasts that are not acceptable to God? Be careful. In the book of Jeremiah, the people were following all the rituals of the temple, all the Jewish rituals, and they were fasting. And God told Jeremiah, tell those people, I'm not going to accept their fast. As long as they are fasting only in the body, but not according to the Spirit, meaning they are not trying to repent, their evil intentions are still the same, they are not growing, they are not improving themselves, they're not getting any better, I'm not going to accept their fast. They're just doing it just to do it. I won't accept their fast. Christ also told the people on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he says, but when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites, but wash your face. Don't have a sad countenance, lest others look upon you and realize that you're fasting. He says, it shouldn't be one in which you are worrying about what others think about you. You're so concerned about, what if people know that I'm not fasting? That's not the goal. Who cares if people know that you're not fasting? The goal is that you would be united and connected with God. So the fast that is concerned with the opinions of others is not an acceptable fast. Even the fast of the Pharisee, who is standing in the temple raising his hands and says, Lord, I fast twice a week. I give my tithes, and I thank you that I'm not like that sinner right there. And he starts pointing at the tax collector. And the tax collector is in the corner, beating his chest, saying, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. God, have mercy on me. And so God said this man went home more justified than the Pharisee. Why? Because the Pharisee fasted without humility. He fasted without humility, without a broken heart before God. This is a time where we bring in the microscope and we try to analyze the deep roots of our sins. We have to look deep into our hearts and find out what's causing me to sin. What are the roots? Maybe you're not sinning the big sins, the sins that we consider to be big sins. And you're saying, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything that wrong. Get in the microscope. Look down deep into your heart and discover the true intentions of your heart. Maybe you'll discover that the intentions of your heart have nothing to do with God. The intentions of walking a life that is pure or walking has nothing to do with God. It's all about me. And it's all about the self. Sanctify a fast. Sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. An assembly in which we all come together as one congregation and we ask God as the people of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh in the time of Jonah, and we ask God, we say, Lord, please have mercy on us. Give us a new beginning. Fasting is for people who know that they're sinners. If you're righteous, you have no need of fasting, no need of repenting, don't worry about it. This isn't for you. This is for us sinners who all know ourselves really well and know that all of us are in need of getting in tune with God. A fast done without charity is a fast that is not acceptable. A fast done that is done without charity is a fast that is not accepted. In Isaiah chapter 58, he says, what fast is it that you are doing? Isn't a fast one in which you are healing the brokenhearted, feeding the hungry, comforting the distressed? And he goes on. He says, this is a fast. We talked about the gospel 2 weeks, or last week was about the pillars of the spiritual life, which was prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. In the last two weeks, how much charity have you shown to others? How much have you given to those that are in need? Money is one thing. Time is another for those that are lonely. Comfort to those that are down, distressed, depressed. That's why we need to fast. Because we get in the mode of, it's all about me. It's all about me. So we put ourselves down, and believe me, your eyes will be open to the needs of others. A fast that is not done with charity and love is an unacceptable fast. It is a rejected fast. What do we say our goal is? Our goal is to be united to God. Our goal is that we would draw closer to Him and that we become one with Him. But it's not going to happen if you do it on your own. Which is why you found in the Catholic Epistle, according to St. James, he says, sit here at my foot. He says, be careful. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts. He's telling us to fulfill the royal law and care for the needy, not to be arrogant. It's important that your fasts have charity in them. A fast that is acceptable before God is one that at all times your eyes are constantly focused on being aware of the presence of God. It is one that is focused on Him. It is one that has said, my time, I'm going to do as much as I can to turn this time into holy time. To turn this time into a dedicated time for God. Maybe less social gatherings. Maybe less distraction. Maybe focused on overcoming the sins of my tongue. These are the acceptable fasts before God. As you gain control over your desires, focus on where the will goes, where your personal will is. And try to narrow in on where you're going astray and ask God for the grace to be able to correct those things. I pray that we would dedicate this season in making it all about Him. He's saying, just give me this time. Give me this time. All the church is doing it. In which we forget everything else, and all this time is about Him and connecting with Him. And glory be to God forever. Amen.